This podcast is a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. It is part of a series for worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer for the season of Lent. Welcome to this podcast homily for the fifth Sunday in Lent, commonly called Passion Sunday. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire AIC archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site. Passion Sunday marks the beginning of a transition from the penitential nature of Lent into the climactic events in Jesus' earthly life. It is the end of the cycle that began with his nativity on Christmas Day and ends with his betrayal by Judas Iscariot, his arrest on Maundy Thursday, followed by the parody that is called a trial on Good Friday, to his crucifixion, death upon the cross, and finally to his resurrection on Easter Day. The complexity of both the epistle and gospel readings for today require a longer homily to do justice to the content of the lessons. The epistle reading for Passion Sunday from Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 15, traditionally credited to the Apostle Paul, contains imagery that is not well understood in the Western Church. The author refers to Jesus as, quote, our high priest of good things to come, in verse 11, an allusion to the mysterious Melchizedek, whom Eastern Church scholars view as a pre-nativity glimpse of Christ in the Old Testament. St. Paul also refers to Jesus as, quote, not made with hands, which is one of the most famous phrases in the first five centuries of the Church, and upon which one of the earliest icons of Christ was based. You can view an example of the icon called Not Made with Hands in the companion blog post for this homily. It means Jesus as the only begotten Son of the Father, begotten by God before creation and not the result of any human form of procreation requiring both a man and a woman. He also refers to dead works, which means the empty self-righteous posturing of the Pharisees, whose tortured thinking plays so important a part in the gospel reading from the pen of St. John for today. He also uses the phrase mediator of the New Testament. That is the same as the reference in the Anglican prayer books to Jesus as our only mediator and advocate. And finally ends the reading with, quote, the promise of eternal inheritance, which means access through faith in Christ to eternal life in the heavenly kingdom of the Father. The gospel reading is John 8, 46 to 59, St. John's account of Jesus' encounter with some Pharisees determined not to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. For a more detailed discussion with illustrations of this encounter, presented in the context of the ongoing dispute with the Pharisees, the meaning of I am from the Greek ego eime, and St. John's emphasis on contrasting themes, especially light versus darkness, and truth versus falsehood, and the relationship between the Father and the Son, I invite you to watch the AIC Bible Study New Testament video series, particularly episodes 29, 32, 33, and 40, which are linked from the Bible Study page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Regular readings from the prayer book are useful tools, but there are some occasions in which adding something of what came just before or just after the reading can add clarity. The reading for Passion Sunday is one of those. It is helpful to review quickly what happened in verses 37 to 44 in chapter 8. The running controversy between Jesus and the Pharisees involved different understandings of the word Father. For the Pharisees, the patriarch Abraham was their father. For the followers of Jesus, he had already given the world the Lord's Prayer with its implied permission to address his Father as their Father. Jesus had said in verse 37 that he acknowledged their blood descent from Abraham, and in verse 40 he spoke of telling the truth which he heard from God his Father. In verse 41 they respond angrily, "We are not born of fornication, we have one Father, God." To which Jesus replied in verses 42 and 43, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." Traditional Christian teaching is that those who invite the Holy Spirit into their innermost being, that is, unlike the quarrelsome Pharisees to whom Jesus is speaking, will have ears to hear and can understand his word. Jesus said something similar in several of the letters to the churches of Asia Minor in Revelation. For more on that, watch episode 5 through episode 8, in our Bible study video series, Revelation, An Idealist Interpretation, which is linked from the Bible study page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. John's account in chapter 8 of Jesus' encounter with the Pharisees at the temple does not have a parallel in the synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. While St. Luke did not cover the same incident in his gospel, he did write in Luke 11, verse 28, which is read for the third Sunday in Lent in the Anglican prayer book tradition, this beatitude spoken by Jesus, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." For this podcast homily, I will begin two verses before the prayer book reading, starting instead with verse 44, in which the dispute mentioned above continues and which will lead to the confrontation in the final two verses. Here is John 8, verses 44 to 77, to 47. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." Jesus does not mean that they are blood descendants of the devil, but spiritual descendants of the evil one and of all who hate the truth that is the basis of the Christian faith and was personified in Jesus Christ. I remind you again of St. John's theme in his Gospel of true versus false, or truth versus falsehood. The Jews then accuse Jesus of having a demon, which Jesus denies in verse 49, and then offers them the promise of everlasting life if they believe the truth in verse 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The statement infuriated the Jews even more. Literal-minded, rather than spiritual-minded, they called out in great anger at this offense to their progenitor Abraham, saying, "Are you greater than Abraham, our father Abraham?" And then referring to the fact that Abraham was dead and that all the prophets are dead. Then they ask the thundering, startling question, one which still applies today to those who would be Christians. Who do you make yourself out to be? These Jews were unable to accept Jesus' claim of descent from an unseen father. Christians must understand that Jesus of Nazareth did not simply seem or appear to be the Son of God, a condition known as docetism, but actually was the living Son, the only begotten Son of the Father. For Christians, the humility in Jesus' next statement is striking and his certainty reassuring, but for the Jews, the last phrase in the reading was blasphemy. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The literal-minded Jews replied, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus answered with one of the startling I Am declarations that are unique to St. John's Gospel, saying in verse 58, "Most assuredly, I say to you that before Abraham was, I am." I know it is repetitive, but every year at this time, I point out that many translations of the Bible do not give the reader the same context as you get from the NKJV text. In these other translations, "Before Abraham was, I am," is rendered as "before Abraham was, I was," which does not have exactly the same meaning. Such a translation is not what he said. He said, in the Greek original, ego eime. These two words are the equivalent in Greek of the same words which God used in Hebrew when speaking to Abraham in Exodus 3:13-15. Jesus' use of I am in the Gospel of St. John are meant to say to the world that he is the same God who spoke with Abraham on Mount Sinai. To these specific Pharisees in the temple, he is saying to them in the ego eime statement, "Yes, I am greater than Abraham. Indeed, I am the same God who spoke with Abraham." In St. John's account, quote, "the Jews," unquote, "were enraged and tried to stone him. But John reports that Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." In this encounter, using the words of Jesus, John has shown clearly how one can have eyes and not see, and ears and not hear. If you are interested in exploring this concept and want to learn more about the continuing conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, I invite you again to watch the AIC Bible Study video series, The New Testament Gospels and Epistles, especially episodes 29, 32, 33, and 40 on these same topics, which are linked from the Bible Study page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. My closing prayers for Passion Sunday are, first, an adaptation of a 19th century morning hours devotion by the Metropolitan Filaret of Moscow and a suitable penitential devotion for us in the Western Church at Lent, followed by the collect for Passion Sunday, which Archbishop Cranmer fashioned from the Gregorian Sacramentary used in the Western Church since the late 6th and early 7th centuries. Remember, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, thy mercies and loving kindness, which have been from everlasting, and for the sake of which thou didst become man and deign to endure crucifixion and death for the salvation of all who rightly believe in thee. Thou rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father, and regardest the prayers of all who call upon thee with their whole heart. Incline thine ear, and hear the humble entreaties of us, thy unprofitable servants, who offer it for an odor of spiritual fragrance for all thy people. Grant us, O Lord, to live this day in thy peace. Bless our dealings with all with whom we come in contact. Teach us and treat all that comes to us today with peace of soul and the firm conviction that thy will governs all. In all our deeds and words this day, govern and guide our thoughts and feelings that we may always act firmly and wisely without embittering or embarrassing others. Direct our will and teach us to pray. Thou who art with the Father and thine all-holy and life-giving Spirit, liveth and reigneth ever, one God, world without end. Amen. And now the collect for Passion Sunday. We beseech thee, Almighty God, mercifully to look upon thy people, that by thy great goodness they may be governed and preserved evermore, both in body and soul, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.